From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made in a rural elementary school called West Green in North Carolina. You've heard of teachers who pay for school supplies with their own money. Well, in West Green, it goes beyond basic supplies. The district requires young students to take art, music, and physical education. But there are very few supplies to help the students learn. A third grade teacher has combined her own dollars with some fundraising projects to buy the basics, but she wonders if those materials will last. The New York Times profiled this rural district, which cut the school's library staff too, and now there are hundreds of books, but often no one to guide students on which to choose. What happens when rural communities become disconnected from the arts? Well, here in Western New York, there are similar challenges in school districts and in communities, but there are also some high-quality summer events, programming, festivals, traveling theater, efforts to keep the arts vibrant in places like Silver Lake and Auburn and elsewhere. And perhaps you've heard of Shake on the Lake, which began in 2012 in rural Silver Lake, New York. It's about an hour-ish south of Rochester. It's been a little while since I've been down to Perry, but it's worth the trip. And Shake on the Lake is a professional Shakespeare touring company. This summer, they're bringing their production of Richard III to Rochester. They got a show set for Monday night at St. Joseph's Park. This hour, it's a chance to discuss summer productions, the impact of the arts in rural spaces, and more. And my guests this hour include Pilar McKay, who's co-founder and managing director of Shake on the Lake. Pilar, welcome to the program. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Josh Rice is co-founder and producing artistic director of Shake on the Lake. Josh, welcome to you.
Thanks, Evan. I appreciate it.
Chad Bradford is associate artistic director and the founder of Voices Uncaged, which is, Chad, why don't you tell us a little bit about what that is?
Well, first of all, thanks for
having
us.
Yeah, it's great having you.
So thrilled to be here. Voices Uncaged is a program that, following in the footsteps of my friend and colleague Josh Rice, he was able to get a fellowship through National Arts Strategies for a project of his called the Mnemonic Theater Project, working with people with dementia using puppetry and theater to see how that could enrich their lives. And that inspired me, and I went out for the same fellowship and was awarded that in 2015. The Voices Uncaged is about bringing theater arts, theater education, live performance into a correctional facility. If you look at the statistics of recidivism for people that have had educational opportunities, exposure to the arts within these kind of facilities, that recidivism rate drops tremendously. And so with that kind of knowledge, we want to go in there and we use our own kind of brand with Shake on the Lake. We bring in Shakespearean text. We bring in improv storytelling. We have one teaching artist who's a playwright, so sometimes we'll do some monologue writing. But really, the program is about bringing in the arts, bringing in something, the theater, that has been so transformational in my life and the lives of my friends, and bringing it to a population that I think really appreciates it and can really use it going forward when they get out of prison.
That's great stuff. We're going to have a chance to talk a lot about how all of this came to be, especially in a place like Silver Lake. I also want to welcome on the phone Brett Smock, who's producing artistic director of Merry-Go-Round Playhouse. Brett, thanks for taking the time. How are you?
Actually, it's Eric Katzker.
It's not. So why don't I, Aaron? This is always great radio when you introduce someone. I feel like this is exactly what happened on the Fox News Morning Show the other day when they had somebody. Anyway, why don't you tell us about why you love President Trump and his health care? I have the wrong person. So why don't you go ahead and give us the introduction here?
Sure. My name is Aaron Katzker. I am the educational theater manager for the Merry-Go-Round Playhouse and Finger Lakes Musical Theater Festival. Brett Smock was unfortunately not able to join today, but I am here to chat with you.
All right, so you're sort of like Brett Smock. Okay, good. Aaron, why don't you tell us what Merry-Go-Round is, by the way?
Sure. So the Merry-Go-Round Playhouse and the Finger Lakes Musical Theater Festival are housed in Auburn, New York, and our organization has two sides. The Finger Lakes Musical Theater Festival is summer theater we produce right here in Auburn. We produce five shows every summer in the Merry-Go-Round Playhouse in Emerson Park. And then the other side of our company is the Merry-Go-Round Youth Theater. And we bring theater into school buildings all across the state, primarily central and western New York. and we bring grade level specific theater experiences to 75 school districts across the state.
All right, so before we kind of get into more of the specifics on what our guests, what Aaron, and then what Pilar and Josh and Chad are offering and what you can check out, I want to read something that I read from Pew, and I thought this was a really interesting idea on the value of arts. So this is from Pew in an article titled, "Can the Arts Help Save Rural America?" Let me quote now. "As post-recession rural America continues to struggle, some rural leaders using private and public funding are experimenting with the arts as a tool to fuel economic and community development. The National Endowment for the Arts is helping by giving $125,000 in seed money to fund a next-generation initiative to help build arts hubs in rural America. The idea is to connect artists, art groups, civic leaders, and philanthropists and encourage them to create sustainable cultural scenes in rural communities to help spur economic development and entice new young residents. Iowa, Kentucky, and Minnesota participated this year. Other states are seeking to join next year." Charles Fluharty is the president and CEO of the Rural Policy Research Institute, which is a public policy institute located at the University of Iowa. And he says, "You need arts in rural America so that the next generation wants to come there and live there. If you do not build vibrant, inclusive, diverse places for young people, they are not going to raise their families there. They're simply not. And those communities will wither away," end quote. So the idea being, we talk a lot about economic development and what happens in communities hollowed out by job loss and economic concentration, mid to small size communities, the rust belts, everything else. And what Pew is saying in this story is we don't talk enough about the arts. And if you have districts that cut funding and cut arts from schools and you don't have community groups doing arts, then when you want to lure people to live there, you need jobs, but you also need culture. And if you don't have culture, people don't want to be there. Is that just a hypothesis, or do you think, let's start here, Pilar, do you think that there is something to that?
Yeah, absolutely. The Next Gen Rural Initiative, I actually went to their conference in Iowa, and Chuck and Matt do really great work through that project. It's Art of the Rural. Not only are the statistics behind it, it's also qualitative, and we've seen a big transformative component in our own community. So we engaged with Shake on the Lake our first year to bring theater to an underused public beach area that basically when we were growing up, so Josh and I both went to Perry schools and graduated quite a few years ago, but when we were growing up, there was a lifeguard. There was an actual beach there, and as the years went on and economic decline took a little bit of a toll, the beach wasn't being used. So we brought theater to be a kind of a creative placemaking component. And what we define creative placemaking is making spaces into places using the arts. And that's, I think theater is uniquely suited for that because when we come into, we are now in 8 counties, I think 16 shows altogether.
20.
And we come into places that you wouldn't think that the arts would be. And once we come with theater, all of a sudden we're all focused on the show at hand, and then it transforms what the community thinks about their place and what they can do. And I think I'll toss it to Josh to see if he has any other insights about the work that we do in rural communities and how it impacts them.
Yeah,
I think one of the things that I never really intended Shake on being is this rural arts advocacy organization. We started touring in 2015 through a regional economic development council grant through the New York State Council of the Arts. And the goal was to tour our show from our public beach to other underutilized public spaces in these other rural communities. And we found that people really loved hosting us and then started to create communal events around in Arcade, New York, in southern Wyoming County. They bring in a wine merchant, and they bring in an RV for us to change in and be our locker room. There's an ice cream stand that comes in. There are food trucks that come in. And they get over 200 people to come out for an evening of Shakespeare in a very, very rural part of Wyoming County. And we find that to be so inspiring. And a lot of communities are now starting to do that same thing as we're in Springville and Attica, New York, and parts of Livingston County. And we're up in Orleans County now. And it's a really amazing thing to watch all of these people come out and really love that there's something happening in their town. And in Perry, when I grew up, I didn't know what theater was until I went to college and at SUNY Brockport and really kind of found this world that I found to be particularly exciting. But for me to be able to come back and start something in my hometown and maybe expose just one person to a world of possibility that maybe they didn't know existed before feels like a really right thing to be able to do.
Awesome. Chad?
Yes, I think also with Shake on the Lake in particular, talking about raising families and things like that and people moving into these places, actually as a result of Shake on the Lake, one of our company members who's been an actor, this year he's our set designer, a fellow by the name of Josh Marks, is actually moving from New York City to rural Western New York, back to Perry, to be an artist, to create things. We're part of our intern program. Through our education program called the Groundlings, we've actually had somebody who is now one of our interns who was in high school just a student. So firsthand, I feel like with the arts, we're seeing not only people coming from other places to be a part of this. I'm originally from Little Rock, Arkansas, and Western New York has been my home for the last 7 years. We're seeing people come from new places here, also keeping people here, as with our intern. She's able to practice theater now in a place where 7 years ago she couldn't have done that.
You're from Little Rock?
Originally from Little Rock, Arkansas, yes. I pay rent in New York City, but I bounce around.
I don't want to stereotype, but the accent gave it away.
Oh, well. I've worked very hard, 6 years of theatrical training to get rid of it, but it always comes back.
It can come back if you want it to?
Oh, yes, really quickly.
Well, especially for someone in theater.
Yes.
And I say that, by the way, with affection, as having lived in different states myself, not pejoratively. It
was certainly.
Just an observation. And I went, of course, Chad's from Little Rock. And Aaron, how about you? I mean, you're from Olympia, Washington, and you've done theater work in many different communities. How do you feel about what we just read from Pew and the value of the arts in rural spaces?
I agree with it wholeheartedly. Something we talk about a lot in our building, certainly about Next Generation, and we provide very discounted tickets for Next Generation for students under age of 22. And we are in the works of trying to work on new initiatives to reach more young people to get them interested in being patrons of the arts. But also, we talk a lot about access and making people, helping people feel that the theater is for them, and making it an accessible place to be. And how can we have our message invite people who maybe have never stepped foot into a theater feel that that is a place for them to come and experience art together. So that's something that we're very focused on as well. With our youth theater, we visit all different kinds of communities. We visit, you know, schools in Syracuse, but also school in West Valley and in the Adirondacks, and some of these students that we visit throughout the school year, the only theater they're seeing in their lives is what comes to their building from our company. And that, like I said, that access to the arts and having an awareness of it, we're trying to encourage that these young people becoming theater appreciators and arts appreciators in their future, which will drive art growth and economy and influence everything.
So as we go throughout the hour, maybe you want to follow along with what our guests are doing. You want to check them out online. And let me read an email, and then I'll tell our guests so you can follow along with what performances you want to check out. Mike writes to us and says, "Evan, I just heard a promo for today's show that's going to discuss Shake on the Lake. I won't be able to listen when the show's on the air, but I had to offer these comments. I had the great pleasure of seeing Shake on the Lake's production of Richard III on the opening night of their tour in Geneseo last week. I went not knowing what to expect, never having seen any of their shows before. It was excellent. The talent and energy of the cast was outstanding. I was very impressed with their creativity in turning an outdoor stage with no curtain and very little supporting infrastructure into a variety of scenes with minor changes in the placement of their few props and changes in costume. I thoroughly enjoyed the show, and from what I heard and saw in the audience and around me, everyone else felt the same. I want to offer my congratulations and thanks to Shake on the Lake for putting on such a great show. I encourage anybody who has the opportunity to attend one of the remaining performances, do it. That is from Mike.
Thanks, Mike. Wow. Holy cow. We need to hire you, dude.
I think I can confirm that Mike is just a random emailer, that he doesn't work for you guys. No, I mean, that's great stuff. So as we go throughout the hour here, people want to see where they can find you. Can they find you online? Shake
yep.
on the Lake.
www.shakeonthelake.org and also on Facebook at Shake on the Lake.
Shake on the Lake. Yeah. Aaron Katzker, where can they find you?
Finger Lakes MTF.
Simple as that. Aaron brings up something that I think is really important as we talk about how our guests tailor their how you approach creating theater, especially when you want to think about different audiences, and how you want to bridge divide's the wrong word, but sometimes there's an idea with Shakespeare that, well, you got to do it, and you know, you can't do it with the original text, and you have to make it more accessible, and you have to shorten it, and look, a lot of different schools of thought. I am not the person who can tell you exactly what works for everybody, but you're getting hundreds of people to come out and see Shakespeare, and you're doing it in a lot of different settings. You've got a performance of Richard III Monday night, 6:30, here in Rochester at St. Joseph's Park. Free admission. You want to tell us a little bit about what's coming up on Monday?
Yeah, so this is actually a partnership with the Landmark Society, who's been so great supporting all the rural communities throughout their affiliate network and their program. They invited us to be part of their Performances in Historic Sites series. And this kind of has been a relationship brewing for probably 2 or 3 years. And when we received the invitation and saw pictures, I think the entire company was like, yeah, we're going to get to perform Shakespeare in this awesome place. So we're really fortunate because through the practice of creative placemaking in our rural communities, we often find ourselves in historic venues. So the emailer actually saw us at the Wadsworth Homestead, which is one of the oldest living spaces in Western New York from the Wadsworth family. So we have to thank Will and Louise for hosting our tour launch there every year. And, you know, that is one. We're at the Morgan Manning House in Brockport. We also go to the Attica Historical Society. So we're in historic places, and they are often a place that have great lawn, basically, and that's why we perform there. So Landmark Society, it's just a no-brainer kind of relationship for us. I think to talk about accessibility and how we deal with the creative process, we have Chad and Josh both are very mindful of that. So
yeah, Josh?
Yeah, I think when we started Shake in 2012, I kind of knew Shakespeare was going to be a hard sell, I think, in a rural community like Wyoming County, and how to best present it. And our first year, we did the complete works of William Shakespeare, Abridged, which is fast and fun and silly and kind of has a Monty Python kind of feel. And you get actual Shakespearean text, but also the feeling of these three guys who are playing like expert idiots trying to put this show on. And it feels like it could fall apart at any moment. And it worked really beautifully. And if you can make people laugh, I think you can really bring them in. And I think we were able to accomplish that. So then we could present full-on Shakespeare our next year, which was The Comedy of Errors, one that I really love just because it's so physical. The physical comedy is really brilliant. And I think our limitations in performing where we do is we perform outdoors, and there is no electricity there. So we have to, we have a really wonderful patron neighbor who lets us run electricity from their house. And what we're able to do is then run our sound system and build a set that's rather minimal, and then we perform at 6:30 and have to finish before the sun sets, which is beautiful on Silver Lake. And the goal was always kind of to make it 90 minutes or less because of that limitation. And I think creativity came out of all of these limitations because now we create these sets that have to travel and pack up and fit in the back of multiple cars to travel to multiple sites, and we have to get done before the sun sets. And not unlike Shakespearean times, in which they performed outdoors.
Yeah, I was just
like going
to say that having been to the Globe to the extent that it is pretty similarly and sparsely set up now,
right,
which is great, having walked and been on that space myself, it's a great reminder of the lack of pyrotechnics that existed, which is so there is some bit of a callback for Shake on the Lake to do it that way. It seems.
There absolutely is, and you know, having been an intern at the Globe myself, it was such a really nice thing to be able to call back some of those original staging techniques that I think we're able to use really well. And Chad has been directing our shows for the last few years, and I think through his work with the American Shakespeare Center, that also tours Shakespeare shows, he has such a great background in knowing some of these staging techniques and how we can incorporate them into the company.
Sure. I mean, I think it goes back to the Pew research you were talking about. I mean, it really is always about human connection. And I remember going to a Globe production when I was in London, and it being magical because we were all sharing a communal event. And that's part of what we strive for at Shake on the Lake, why it is so effective outdoors. We do our shows, at least in the last few years, we've been doing our shows either in a runway, alley style, or in the round. So not only can the audience see the actor can see the audience, and the audience sees each other, which allows this circular kind of energy. And this kind of human connection lasts after the show. And I think this kind of residual energy, this connection, this human connection, is part of the reason the arts can bring people back into these rural places that are becoming special. Going back to what Josh was talking about putting these shows together, limitation is always a great spawns creativity in a really wonderful way. He came to me and said we decided on Richard III, and we said we were going to do it with six people. Now there are over 30 characters in Richard III. There are multiple settings. So how do you take a play that, other than Hamlet, is Shakespeare's longest play, 31,000 words, how do you cut that in such a way where you can fit in 90 minutes and you only use six actors playing multiple parts? And it's this kind of challenge that really allows the creativity to just burst out of you, because you say, how can we tell this story? We're not going to lose any of the story, but these are our tools. So it allows us to use our backgrounds in devising work and in physical theater in order to create something that not only is the text not taken for granted, we're still diving into this beautiful poetry, but we're also layering in our years of training, bringing in beautiful, simple spectacle into all of our performances.
You took 31,000 words down to what, roughly?
I think we ended up around 13 or 14,000.
And okay, so some of that's going to be like surgery, you know.
That's what it felt like when I was cutting it,
lopping off arms. Yeah,
and you're going, wow, this pie. How do we? But you've got to make those decisions.
Yes.
Do you do that pragmatically? Do you do that because you're worried you can't get the audience to be there for 3 hours plus?
I think at the end of the day, we like to produce theater, the kind of theater that we would like to see. Yeah. And Josh and I, we worked together as actors and creators before we got up here to Shake on the Lake. And Josh and I both have backgrounds in stage combats. We love things to be physical and fun and fast. Josh has a great training in improv, and I used to play piano for Improv Little Rock, which is an improv group back in Little Rock, and so it's really about just doing stuff that jazzes us. I think it also we provide some pre-show music, so even though I think that it's not necessarily not trusting it, it's about doing it in such a way to where it's going to be the most fun for us, and also so we can beat the sunset. I think once we find ourselves in a place where we, if we're touring with lighting and things like that, the limitation may change. But right now, it's something that we're embracing because it really juices the creativity.
Aaron Katzker, educational theater manager for Merry-Go-Round Playhouse. How do you decide what you want to produce?
Well, specifically for our in-school programming, some limitations we have are the school day, and we have 4 to 5 different tours on the road any given day during the school year, and each tour is visiting 2 different schools a day, so they need to fit in everything in a morning or in an afternoon. And with our to help with our school programming, we select pieces or write them ourselves that correspond with the grade level New York State learning standards mm-hmm. to help the connection with the arts into their core subjects, which helps convince the schools to bring our programming in and that it's all connected and you're not, the idea of our program is that you're not losing time in your educational day. We're here to add to it. Now, we are doing a different performance at each grade level, K through 5, with a middle school program and a high school program. So when I say, okay, we need a show for kindergarten, it's hard to just to look and find one that fits exactly what we need. Is going to be a 45-minute production and use three actors with a set that we can fit into a Sprinter to drive to the place. So, you know, sometimes it works, but oftentimes we are commissioning our scripts to fit our needs. For example, the show we bring to third grade is an adaptation of the Chinese folktale, The Magic Paintbrush. It has four actors in it, and there's about, eight different characters that they play. And another thing we try to do is give the students different kinds of theatrical experiences through the years because they're going to see something different each year. And in third grade, we thought, wouldn't it be interesting to have them experience theater, not just watching it straight on, but having it happen around them. So our production, we actually have three different set pieces, and the students sit right in the middle of them. So they are actually physically turning to look at the action as it moves around them. And the actors are doing some really creative costume changes behind those pieces, and we're just shifting the focus where we want them to look. But again, it all has to happen in 45 minutes, has to be able to be set up in 30 minutes and broken down in 30 minutes. We also pair each of our grade level shows with an in-classroom workshop before the performance. So the students are getting to talk with an actor for 30 minutes. They're going to get to make connections, get their brains working, and be able to actively view the performance and make those connections while they're seeing it. And we provide study guides to school for the teachers to use. There's pre- and post-performance activities to connect the learning after we leave and extend that into their day. And also we point out all the different New York State learning standards that are touched on with our visit to try to make it a whole experience that they can use.
Erin, just as an aside, I'm curious, when you go to schools, I assume the schools are paying you, is that right?
Correct.
Okay, I mean, I'm glad to hear that they still are doing that. Are you worried that that could change?
Well, one of the great things about our program is that because we are tied into that core curriculum, schools are able to apply for state aid for our program. So they are, because we are an educational program that they can apply for through their local BOCES. And that is how the majority of our cost is paid for.
Okay. And let me also ask Erin, and I'll ask all of our guests here in studio, the same kind of question. So whether you're doing Magic Paintbrush or if you're doing Richard III, which would be heavy for third graders, but, you know, but whatever the case that you're...
I can handle it.
Sure. But, you know, you obviously, when you go into a third grade classroom, you are, or in a third grade setting, you're thinking about the material and... obviously, what's age appropriate, but then does something need to be tailored to fit? If you're performing, just as a performer yourself and with the experience you have, Erin, how do you feel about these debates that we have about trying to appreciate the classics, classic literature, classic theater, but demanding that they somehow be or just sort of modern fitted to our sensibilities, to our language, so we can digest it? And how much do you prefer to leave alone?
You know, I think there's... specifically with the work that we do, because we're targeting a very small age group at a time, we can interpret different classic pieces in different ways. With the younger grade levels, we do a lot of classic fairy tale and are able with a lot that are in public domain, which is amazing. So we are able to put a 45-minute script together that can use some of the original text. And, for example, this show is changing this year, but we've been touring for first grade, the Brothers Grimm story, The Golden Goose. And in the prep workshop before the students see the show, you get to have a conversation with first graders about who the Brothers Grimm are, other stories they know that these people wrote, where this story takes place in Germany. We talk about German culture. We get to look at where Germany is on a map, ways that the German culture is present here in the United States, and why that is. And that's all part of it. So I think we get to, the first graders also get to participate in the show and play a role with that and keeping them active and engaged. But they're also getting that the history of where the story came from. I think there's a lot of ways to do it and make it interesting for your audience.
Pilar, how about you? How about the Shakespeare purists who say, you can't touch a word of it? Who do you think you are? The bard didn't waste a word.
That's a great question. I can't speak for William Shakespeare, which I'm really... I just speak for sometimes Josh and Chad. But
that's enough, right?
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting in context also in the rural communities where we are, and I think it might bring up a larger issue about classics, period. We're sometimes the only live theater that goes into a rural community. So not only do we have a responsibility to represent theater and professional theater at that, which we... consider anytime that we are hiring people who are developing their skills as part of their career, but also we pay our actors. So first of all, we're representing theater, professional theater, which is an oddity. We're the only professional theater in about 5 adjacent counties. So we have to come in and say, nope, this is not a hobby. These are people who get paid to do what they do. They have terminal degrees. So that's one side of it. And then we also have this additional just little thing about, you know, presenting Shakespeare's work.
Sure. Yeah.
So for us, a big responsibility we have as Shake on the Lake is to really let the communities know that they are entitled to this art, that this is something that they should be able to consume locally and as locally as their local park. And we're going to not dumb this down for you. We're going to have fun because that's our creative style. That's what we do. We do it in 90 minutes or less with 5 actors, 6 actors, 8 actors. But in terms of what our mission is to give them a product that we're proud of, that really is showing Shakespeare. We're not there to dumb it down. We're not there. That's not part of our accessibility mission. Our mission is to say, you're going to get some of the best Shakespeare you're ever going to see. And it was developed down the road. And that's what Shake on the Lake really is about.
I also think that when you embrace the way that we do these kind of Shakespearean traditions to the nth degree, when you are involving the audience the way you would see at the Globe, where if I'm doing a soliloquy, I'm looking you right in the eye as an audience member, and I'm trying to get a response, that engages an audience. When you're using music the way that they did in the Renaissance, that's going to engage an audience. So I think really...
Improvising
in the moment. If someone, it was in Brockport, there was a great moment. Someone in the audience started heckling Richard III after he got on the throne. Usurper! You tyrant! And Josh had, Richard had some choice words for this audience member, which would have been the thing that was happening when Shakespeare was writing these plays. He wrote these plays not just for the royals that were sitting behind the stage, but for the groundlings that were down in the muck, drinking their ale, that paid a penny to get in. So by embracing these traditions, using music, involving the audience in what we're doing, Josh's extensive history in improv, and by utilizing all these skills, we're really just uncovering the magic that's already there. So that's what I would say to a purist, is that it's really pure to use the traditions that Shakespeare was using.
Yeah, and by the way, what does Richard III say? Are you allowed to repeat on the air what Richard III would say to a heckler?
I think it had something to do with his mother. Maybe not.
Certain
so
insults are timeless.
Exactly right.
Just going
Richard's
back centuries, man.
Yeah, man.
I love the idea of improv coming into play in a moment like that, because for someone like me who does not have an education in the way that you do but loves to see the work you do, my expectation would have been, well, you can't improv that. I mean, the script is pretty fixed. I love the space it gives for a moment like that.
Yeah, and I think we actually build those moments in. There's a moment in which Richard has to conspire the death of his brother, and he asks the sky to join him, and then Chad has built this moment in for us to go into the audience and find another murderer to join us. So we have this moment to just play with the audience and, you know, pick someone and say why the reasons we don't want to pick this person. And they're usually, you know, Richard is not so kind to them. Then we eventually find the other actor that's hidden and we've embedded in the audience. But those moments are just so much fun for us. And we build that space in there because we have such strong improvisers in the cast that the audience really can tell, like, oh, they're making this up right now. And that liveness, I think, is such a draw for me as a theater maker and a theater consumer. And I think it is the same thing for other audiences too.
And that idea of blurring the line between audience and actor, I know, is something that jazzes all of us. This idea that we are having an experience together.
Right.
I'm way late for our only break. I've been enjoying this conversation too much. Mm-hmm. I will tell you as we get ready to go to break that there's a woman in Perry who's just a force of nature. Jackie Billings sent me a note, and she's going to be taking her kids to the Saturday matinee at Shake on the Lake.
That's the Billings show. That's the historic Billings show. Yeah, the Saturday.
Yeah, they're always there. We love JBB. Yeah.
All right. So if Jackie's listening, you will see her there. If you're wondering what in the world we're talking about, we're going to tell you after this only break of the hour because our guests are here. We've got guests from Shake on the Lake, and we've got guests from the Finger Lakes Musical Theater Festival, and we're talking about what the Merry-Go-Round Playhouse is, the mission. So let's get our only break of the hour, and when we come back, if Jackie's going to be bringing her kids to Shake on the Lake, let's talk about kids, theater. We've been talking about the impact of arts in rural communities, in school districts that might be cutting arts funding, in places that don't get a lot of experience with this. But I think we all can ask ourselves a question. Do we take our kids to live theater anymore? And when do you start? And what is the impact of that? Our guests are going to have some thoughts on that and much more after our only break of the hour here. I'm Evan Dawson. Monday on The Next Connections, Pope Francis comes out with a call for all countries around the world to abolish the death penalty. And it might surprise you to know that this is a bit of a change in Catholic Church teaching. We're going to talk about the culture of the death penalty first hour. Then in our second hour, Rochester teaching mentors. The state education commissioner says she wants to see more of them. Rochester says, we're already doing it. We'll meet them. Welcome back to Connections. Pilar McKay, Josh Rice, Chad Bradford in studio with us from Shake on the Lake from Silver Lake, New York, about an hour south of Rochester. And Aaron Katzker's on the phone with us. Aaron is educational theater manager for Merry-Go-Round Playhouse with the Finger Lakes Musical Theater Festival. There's a lot going on. So let's just make sure our audience knows what they have coming up. If you want to go down to see Shake on the Lake in the home setting, if you want to travel a bit, you guys got a busy schedule rest of the summer.
We're not even halfway done. So we'll be at our home stage for the next 2 days at Silver Lake at the Perry Public Beach. Then on Monday, we'll be here in Rochester. Tuesday, we're in Lindenville. Then we're at the Point Breeze Lighthouse, also in Orleans County. Then on Wednesday, we're in
Batavia.
Then we go to...
In Ellicottville.
Ellicottville.
And then in Angelica, New York, and Allegheny County.
In Angelica, that's the first time we're in Allegheny County.
Cool stuff.
Yeah.
If you want to do the Rochester performance, and again, you got a wide range of options there, but in Rochester, it's Monday night, 6:30, free admission at St. Joseph's Park, Richard III, and it's 90 minutes. I mean, you'll be off to dinner at 8 o'clock. There you go. So that's the Shake on the Lake schedule. Aaron, what's your summer schedule look like for our listeners who want to know?
Sure. We're currently running our educational tour that visits parks, libraries, community centers all across the state, and that's running through the end of next week. Coming up, let's see, today's the 3rd, so tomorrow we'll be at right at the Seward House right here in Auburn in the gardens behind the house tomorrow. And then on the 6th, we'll be in Skinny Atlas at Austin Park. We'll be out in Boonville that afternoon. On the 7th, we'll be at Franklin Free Library. On the 8th, back here in Auburn at Clifford Park. And on that afternoon, on the 8th, we'll be at the Fotcroft Home for the Elderly right in their backyard there. On the 9th, we'll be at the United Presbyterian Church in Hornell. On the 10th, Front Neck Park in Union Springs and Honeyoy Public Library that evening. And the 11th will be in Ovid next to the Fire Hall.
So you guys all have a lot going on this summer, and as Pilar says here, don't get in this idea that just because it's August, summer's over. And there's, we still have summer left, and you still have theater that you can go check out. And we talked about the idea of, you know, what's a good age to start bringing kids to theater. Now, obviously, I think everybody agrees you could take a 2 or 3 or an infant if it's age specific. What about Shake on the Lake here? I mean, how often do you see kids? How young?
All the time. For me and my background, my dad grew up in the Bronx, and part of a New York City experience is going to the theater. So my dad, Stan, his philosophy is like, I don't know, you just go to theater. So I started going probably 5, 6, 7 years old. And I know Chad and our other company member, Courtney, have wonderful stories about going to theater as a young person and what it did for them.
Right. And Chad and I and Courtney all have a background working at the Arkansas Arts Center Children's Theater down in Little Rock. I lived there for about 7 years and was a company member there. And I mean, we would bring them in as young as 2, 3, 4 years old. And to be able to see and apply a little bit of what we learned at that theater into Shake on the Lake. And again, you know, just making it available to everyone. Mm-hmm. It's been really nice to see 2-year-olds and 4-year-olds mm-hmm. and 5-year-olds in our audiences and getting it, which is really exciting. There's a little girl that watched the show in Springville the other night, and she saw me the entire play, and she was a little scared, and she's like, "He's a bad guy." And then at the very end, she said, "He's dead now." And, you know, they get it. They absolutely get it. And it's a really fun thing to be able to see that.
At the Arkansas Arts Center, one of this idea of bringing the arts to people, it's just really cool. Another one of our company members, Sharon, Sharon Combs has been a company member there. One of the venues they go to is my grandfather's hometown of Leslie, Arkansas. It's a population of 400, like they say, in Wyoming County, including the cows. And they perform at this WPA gym. And it's the only theater, the high school doesn't even have an auditorium within 2 or 3 counties. And I think having those experiences, Josh and I, with that theater company, really have influenced the kind of audience awareness, wanting to have children at the shows, and knowing how important it is when you don't have a theater within or even an auditorium within certain square miles, that you need to have a place. And so this idea of placemaking in these rural communities has been very important.
And we're finding that people are growing up with us. We have a young woman in Dansville who's been watching us for several seasons, actually got to hop up on stage with us in Richard III this year and has been wanting to. Like, when I'm old enough, I want to be part of Shake on the Lake. And that's really, she's not the only one. I mean, our intern started in our educational programming, Emily Grierson and Perry. So
I was going to, in a moment, I'll ask Aaron to kind of weigh in on the same thing. But since Pilar jumped ahead in my notes here, what is an example of a story just like that? I mean, that's a great one, where you see, now that you've been doing Shake on the Lake for 6 in your 7th season, you're starting to see kids grow up with it. Mm-hmm. But what are some of the kinds of reactions, the feedback that you get from someone, you know, whether it's just sort of a gratitude for putting theater in certain spaces you might not expect it? I mean, I'm sure you've heard a lot.
Well, one thing about Emily, she was in our first Groundlings program at Perry Central School, and that's where I went to school. The superintendent there, Daryl McLaughlin, and I were classmates. He's on our board, and I was like, "Daryl, we want to do something with the school." So he let us come in, and we start this 2-week residency, and then we allow the students to make a show that they then perform before our production. So they create a green show, perform that, and then we do our professional show afterward. And we've been doing this for about 3 years now. And Emily was going to school for pharmaceutical sciences. And because she would always come back and work on this Groundlings program, it really inspired her to change her career path. And now she's going for tech theater at a local school. And she's our intern. And she is just killing it for us this year. And that story, I think, is just a microcosm, I think, of a lot of other stories of students that have gone through some of Shake's programs and have been exposed to something new for the first time. And that's really exciting. exciting for us.
Awesome. Aaron, can I just ask Aaron, because I see the phone's ringing. I want to get this call in just a second. I'm already going to lose the hour. I guess we're going to have to go to Perry and going to have to go to Auburn, which are great towns, by the way. And they're less than one tank trips here. Aaron, what about you? What's the kind of story that comes to mind when you think about the impact of the theater that you guys have done?
Sure. We're celebrating our 60th year as an arts organization this year. We were founded in 1958 as the Auburn Children's Theater with some weekend drama classes, and then began touring into schools in 1961. So that's really where we began. We meet someone in this region, tell them that you work for Merry-Go-Round, and they say, oh my gosh, you came to my school. I remember you. They'll remember a specific show they saw, and this could be 20 years ago. In fact, with our middle school program, it's an ECHOES creative writing competition and showcase, and middle school students are taken through a creative writing workshop and then encouraged to send in pieces of creative writing that we then put together into a show that we bring back to them and echo their words back to them. And in fact, our current marketing manager is an ECHOES award winner and had her piece featured at her school's performance when she was in middle school. And when she came for her interview and told us that, it's just amazing. Now she works here and creates the marketing pieces for us. And then another thing we try to do is show that arts careers are something that can be considered. New York State is one of the biggest pieces of our economy is the arts and media, and most people that work in those fields are transplants to New York State. So introducing the idea that you can have a career in the arts, and we have a Careers in the Arts workshop series in grades 3, 4, and 5 where we are introducing those ideas, careers in storytelling, music, art, visual arts, acting, technical theater, and we're introducing those ideas to get the students thinking about it in those younger grade levels, so when they get into the middle school, they can start exploring some of those ideas.
Well, on just that kind of a subject, let me grab that phone call from Melissa in Rochester. Go ahead, Melissa.
Hi, I just had a positive comment about the Merry-Go-Round Theater. I'm a recently retired kindergarten teacher from Genesee County, and we've had Merry-Go-Round Theater at our school, and an elementary school, of course, for years, and it was the best part of our day, and the children absolutely loved it, especially the workshops where they came into the classroom and did the pretending, and they had included the children in some of the performances. One of them was the circus, where the children would be assigned an animal and an instrument, and they would teach the children how to do that, and then they would become part of the performance. And I just wanted to say it was a wonderful program, and I hope it keeps going in all the schools.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Aaron, you want to respond to that?
Thank you very much. What school?
Byron Virgin.
Oh, Byron Virgin? Awesome. Yes.
Yeah.
We still visit Byron Virgin. We love them.
Yes. Well, and we've loved you. It's been a wonderful experience as far as exposing children. When you were asking about when is a good time, these children are 4, 5, and 6 years old in kindergarten, and I think it's a wonderful experience for them before they get inhibited. So it's great.
Yeah. That's great. That's great. Awesome. Thank you, Melissa. Thanks for the phone call. And as we get ready to wrap the hour, I think that's such a great note. As we go into the weekend, let me ask our guests, if there are kids out there who just haven't budged, or their parents think they won't like it, what's the one Shake production that kids love the most?
I guess their first one, right? Is that the way to say that?
I guess that's a good answer. That is a good answer, actually. I actually really appreciate that, because it's the idea that, well, they'll only like X. They'll like Midsummer Night's Dream, right. So take them to that. We'll wait until they do that one. You're saying no. Take them.
Honestly, in Arcade, we had a little... We perform at a village park, and we had these young men who were riding their bikes, and one stopped. He couldn't have been more than third grade and was like, is this real? Yes, this is real. And, you know, the older kid was like, we're not going to stay. I don't need a program. And then I spied them walking up on the hill watching Richard III. I was like, oh, you're hooked.
I think that's true.
You're
as we progress in human history, the one thing that will stay constant is the idea of live. Of us being in the same space together. And I think it's why, if you look, museum attendance is actually going up because it's an experience. And this idea of their first show is their favorite because you get introduced to the experience for the first time. It's not like watching a movie. It's so much different. That live juice is palpable.
Aaron, you agree in terms of theater? I mean, whatever the production is, we shouldn't just be kind of culling the ranks looking for that one perfect show to take a child to?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, with our shows at the Merry-Go-Round Playhouse or the Finger Lakes Musical Theater Festival, we give them all a rating so parents know, you know, if it's going to be appropriate. But expose kids to the arts as early as possible. We just closed the world premiere of Anne of Green Gables' new folk rock musical, and this old story that has been come to life with a brand new score, and we had tons of kids in the audience who were just mesmerized by it.
All right, Aaron, online, people want to learn more about what you do online. Where do they go?
FingerLakesMTF.com.
FingerLakesMTF.com. Aaron, great fun, great work. We appreciate what you do for all of these communities across the region. Thanks for taking the time for the program this hour.
Thank you.
And our thanks to Pilar McKay, Josh Rice, Chad Bradford, Shake on the Lake, all summer long, and online where?
ShakeOnTheLake.org.
ShakeOnTheLake.org in Rochester, Monday night, traveling here, 6:30 p.m. They're doing Richard III at St. Joseph's Park. Awesome stuff. Hey, I really appreciate, as a dad of a six-year-old, I have such appreciation for what all of our guests do for this community. Thank you. Thanks for
thank you.
Really
appreciate you.
John Andrus, I mildly appreciate you most days. No, I do. Great engineering work, and Megan Mack, great producer for the show. I'm Evan Dawson. Have a lovely weekend. Talk to you Monday.